Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. What's up?
Hi, Barbara, and welcome to episode 135 of the Groom Pod, recorded on September 10th, 2017 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This week on the Groom Pod, we will talk a little bit about choosing cat shampoos. We will learn about carbon dioxide and carbonic acid in skin treatments, and we'll do a couple Ask Barbaras, depending on our time. So you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod to join our discussion, to ask questions, to be part of the community, and to just generally have a good time with us. You can subscribe to the podcast on Stitcher and on iTunes, Google Play, pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. And you can find all things Groom Pod related at our website, which is thegroompod.com. And that includes our Amazon banner and our donation button, both of which goes to support the show. Remember to support our sponsors and share us with all your friends. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.beaver.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma. What a crazy week it's been in the weather department.
Oh, I know. It's just unbearable. I have to admit that I am very distracted today, really worrying about friends and friends that I don't even know in Florida. I'm just, this whole hurricane thing has just got me discombobulated. I'm just going to admit it. I was not able to complete my research. I'm just very sidetracked by worrying. And
as we speak right now, the hurricane is hitting the coast of Florida, going through Miami just right now, right as we're recording this. And I myself have it up on the TV up in the right corner of my eyesight, but I've had to turn it off. I had to step away because I feel so helpless. It's really tough. I'm in a lot of communities on Facebook, of course. Some of them are bird communities, parrot communities.
Yeah.
And a lot of those people have multiple birds and run rescues, and they can't get out of their houses with their birds. And then the stories of people having to leave their birds behind because they evacuate. I mean, things like that. It's just awful. It's just scary. And then not to make light of what already happened in Texas, you know, and speaking of,
I know,
all of
that's
that,
not even, yeah. See, it's not even complete. It's not even done. The repercussions of Texas are not even fully revealed. It's too soon. It's too soon to do another catastrophe.
Headed right to Tampa and Orlando and right through Miami. And it already completely decimated some of my favorite islands in the Caribbean that I love to visit on the cruise ships. That's just, I mean, for those people, which we can't even look at that because we've got it happening on our coast, which usually isn't the case. You know, most often we're looking at someone else who needs it, but there's just island country after island country that has been leveled. All of St. Martin, gone.
Gone.
Yeah, just gone. I mean, Barboa, gone. Gone. Richard Branson's place, gone. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
He waited it out in the cellar, but his place got wrecked also. He's got an island down there. I mean, just lives forever changed. And it's continuing on. And I mean, it's not even close to done. Jose behind it and another one behind that. God.
I know.
Mama Nature's mad. And then on top of it, an earthquake?
I know. And that earthquake didn't hardly even get any coverage because there was so much of our own stuff going on. And you notice that the politics finally just faded into the background because this is so consuming.
And catastrophic.
You know, and how can we explain, you know, how can you explain these phenomena without believing in climate change?
Yes. And some kind of, wow, I don't even know what to say. It's just overwhelming. And I feel for everybody who is evacuated and feels helpless. And we feel helpless here across the country. We're just burning. That's our problem. We've got fires all around us. And then I don't know if you saw the little Facebook United States map
where
we're up in the corner up in Seattle in the Northwest. It just has depression 12 months out of the year. That was what's happening here. God.
That was pretty good. And that had us in the fire zone. And that's true. We had fires up on our mountains this summer, and we had a lot of Arizona fires this year.
Yep. Well, I just want to take a moment right now off the top to mention the Groomers Emergency Assistance Fund again. They have that deal going on. They've got some raffles going on where people are selling their services, or like Scott Wasserman was giving his time to do a seminar somewhere. Books are being donated, all kinds of things being donated. You can also send your stuff to Frank Rowe or to the Groomers Assistance Fund, and they will refurbish your equipment and send it out to groomers. That you can also buy gift cards from Frank Rowe, and they will match the gift fund amount you put on the card for groomers to buy equipment with. I will put up on our website, I will bump up all of the links to the Groomers Assistance Fund. And you guys, this is groomers helping groomers. This is a way that you can give in a very personal manner and help people that we know on our communities on Facebook.
All right. So speaking of people that we know, I had an interesting new customer this week.
Oh, tell me about it.
Okay. First of all, true confessions. I have not yet listened to the messages on my business phone.
Oh my, then I take it you probably haven't changed your message either, have you?
No. Does this make a month? This is horrible.
This is bad.
This is bad. This is bad business. You know, you know what? I don't care.
Well, you've made it to a point where you don't really have to, so you're allowed.
Don't encourage
this for other people.
No, but the thing of it is, even though I miss business, I lose customers, and my good customers worry about me. So I know who I can hire. I'm going to hire my friend to pick up my messages and log them. And that way I don't have to sit there and do that. And then I can just pick out who to call. So anyway, isn't that a great idea? It just occurred to me that I can get my friend Polly, to do this for me, and she could just do it from her phone. I'll just give her the code, you know.
Great idea.
And she'll just be my long distance secretary there. So anyway, these people, I'm sure they called. They emailed me, and I just found it now. And then yesterday, while Yvonne was out getting us lunch, this man walked in with a black Cocker Spaniel, and I'm thinking, I can't do a walk-in. Hi, my name is Bill, and Sam Heyer referred me.
Oops.
So remember Sam Heyer? She was very active on the groomer boards for quite a while, and she's kind of faded into the background. Well, she was also breeding Cocker Spaniels. And this was one of the dogs from her last litter.
Nice.
So she retired as a groomer. And these people have been in Tucson for a while, and they have not been able to find a good groomer for their cocker. And he's a nice-looking dog. He's black. He's got a pretty head. Looks like he's got a good coat. And the poor thing got a hula skirt.
Yikes.
It's, you know, it's like been 8 weeks and it's still prominent. I'd love to, you know, and I was just thinking, gee, I wish I had a decent cocker to work on, because the two cockers that I do live together and just get a clip down every 3 months, whether they need it or not, you know?
Yep.
And so I was really happy, but I love these long distance referrals, and I really am thankful that groomers in other parts of the country think of me when their people move to Tucson, because I really do like to do breed profile and custom grooming, and so that guy, he called, he emailed, and finally he just came on over.
That's the customer you want, though.
No, he jumped through all the hoops. You know, yes, you get an appointment.
Guess what I did?
What did you do?
A border terrier.
Did you hand strip it?
No, because she's 10 and she has just had some rough grooming experiences. So she's in the special needs category. So I just took the orange wall snap-on comb over her. And I thinned, I did her body, and then I used thinning shears on her legs and on her muzzle and her face. And she was the coolest dog, and the lady's great, and I'm happy to have them, and they're in my neighborhood. But I have wanted to do a border terrier forever. I was so excited. And her name is Cleo.
Oh, cute name.
Yep,
I really like border terriers. I do a number of them. Mostly I hand strip them, but you're right. When these terriers reach a certain age, you don't need to pull their hair out by the roots. A little carding. I would actually take them shorter than that peach comb.
Well, she wanted it. She wanted her a little fluffy. So I left her a little fluffy. Besides, the fluffier she is, the more often they will call me.
Yeah, that's the truth.
And so I won't argue with it. There wasn't a tangle or a mat or too much undercoat on her. She's just genetically a nice dog.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want to see her more often. I'll definitely leave that hair on.
Speaking of genetically, did
you
read my little rant about panagenics?
Yes, I think I did.
They're claiming that their products genetically enhance the coat.
They use genetically in there?
Genetically enhance, they use it twice, and then they also say that their products will genetically repair damaged coat.
That's crazy. It's the reason we're doing definitions. It's the reason we do definitions.
When you say genetically enhance, you are saying that you're messing with the genes.
Yes, how can you do that?
And you can't do that through shampoo and conditioner products.
Yeah.
You know, you absolutely can't.
It's so funny. So
that makes me wonder, and the whole statement is so grammatically poor.
Welcome to our school system of today.
Is it us or is it translated? When I see bad language, bad writing, bad grammar, I wonder if the person speaks English as a first language or if they're translating from the Chinese, Japanese, Korean, whatever, you know?
In my brain, I always think it's a shampoo product, so it must be an American, but that is not the case. We learned that a few weeks ago.
Yeah, no, that is not the case. There's a lot of these, a lot of even top-end products. Well, anyway, I just wonder, they should have edited it. It's shameful. It's downright shameful. They just need some little bit of editing. And you cannot genetically enhance, you know, and then they say all breed of of skin, hair, and feathers. Skin does not come in breeds. Hair does not come in breeds. Feathers don't come in breeds.
See, I missed that. I would have actually gone. That's a big red flag for not English as
as a first English. Language. Yes.
Thank you.
It just and it just seems that there wasn't anybody that had enough English savvy to edit it at the company. You know, these companies should be hiring me to edit that stuff because I just would be so easy to fix it up. How can you have a top level? This is a top level. This is a $25 per 16-ounce bottle product.
That's expensive.
Yes, it's right up there. Like with Pure Paws.
Wow.
It's very costly. It's very pricey. And how can you have a top-level salon-like product and have it poorly represented by bad, bad writing?
Yes, it doesn't make a good public impression.
The other thing about it is that it's also another one of these systems where you apply the conditioner first and then shampoo. Yes. Remember that?
Yes. Yeah. Now I remember.
Yeah.
Now
I remember you just didn't read. You just didn't read the whole because it was too long of a post for you.
I've been too busy. I've been so busy. I'm sorry. I haven't even read Dave Campanella's big long post. Did you read it?
I just read that this morning while I was supposed to be doing stuff for this. And what I found in there is that was very well written. But he showed a picture that he represented as a damaged by grooming hair shaft. That I have seen the same picture identified as damage from chemicals, like perming, you know, because it was horribly damaged. And it was not damaged in the way, it was damaged like where the cuticles are just like frizzed cuticles.
Did you email him?
No, I'm going to though, because
he wanted feedback on that.
I know it.
Well, you know what else is coming up? Well, what's not coming up and what we're not doing right now is the webinar, because we just couldn't bring ourselves to do the webinar, what with all of the natural disasters taking place and everyone distracted. Also, Hershey is coming up. Hershey, remember to vote, you guys. Hershey's coming up. And so we postponed the webinar to October 1st. And it is still handling customer complaints, October 1st at 11 Pacific time. And if you'd like to sign up, it's at shop.bbird.biz. And tell us a little bit about what we're going to talk about, Barbara.
Well, this is my system, my 7-point system for dealing with customer complaints. And it's really fleshed out more than what's in the book. It is outlined in my communications book. It's not just the grooming. But in this case, the PowerPoint is really fleshed out. Plus, we talk about calming language and really how to kind of mentally work with yourself to be better at handling these difficult moments when customers are unhappy. And I'm going to talk a little bit about how to identify a toxic customer. Because a toxic customer, the system isn't going to work for. Because they have another other stuff going on. But this is the seminar that I got rave reviews at SuperZoo when I presented this seminar. So a lot of groomers have thanked me for this system and for taking up the topic.
We even had somebody thank you on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
How that was cool. That?
See, yeah, I know. I love being thanked.
It's true.
It's like throwing me a treat. Yeah, and that keeps me going. Oh, you're welcome. Let me see what I can do next.
Yes,
I glow when you acknowledge me and thank me. You know, everybody does. And I just want to say, in terms of customer relations, if you acknowledge your customers for how well they take care of their dogs, after all, they're doing regular grooming, you know, it
makes people feel good.
Yeah, it makes people feel good.
And people remember you for the feelings they have when they're in the room with you.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. Exactly.
Cool. $39.95, folks, and you can get little gems like that. Let's do our vet definition. Who knows, since I don't have any grooming today, maybe I'll get my new introduction for vet definitions and a couple of new advertisements for our sponsors done. God, I can never just sit still long enough to do it. Let's do our vet definition. And we're going to actually define two words today, Barbara. We're going to define acute and chronic, because it's hard to define one without the other. Don't you agree?
Yeah, because you sort of have to compare in order to nail down the definition, right?
It's true. So acute means it comes on suddenly and often is extremely severe, but not always. But it does mean that it comes on suddenly. Whereas chronic is a term that describes a long-term type of an illness, effect, or damage. So the deal is, when you go into the vet and you're talking about a knee issue, if the dog's held its knee up for 8 weeks or 10 weeks or 12 weeks, that's a chronic issue. If the dog tweaked it on the stairs last night, that's an acute issue. And your communication will be much stronger if you can use these terms correctly when you go to the vet with your dog or when you talk to the clients about what they need to go to the vet for. How about that?
So where would hot spots go?
It depends. If the dog has a hot spot and it erupted like within the last, I would say, 72 hours, that's an acute hot spot. If the hot spot's all crusty and it's been there for a while and the hair is lost and maybe there are a couple other hot spots around, that's a chronic issue.
Yeah, I would say it a little bit different.
Okay.
If the dog has never had a hot spot and gets one, it's acute. If the dog has a history of hot spots every summer, that's chronic.
Yep. And I agree with that, because it can certainly, and anything can, start out acute and end up chronic and be the same condition and happen the same time every year. So the acute part will happen, but it's a chronic problem. And that's definitely something you want to convey to the vet.
Good job.
Right on. There's our definition. Let's hear from Beshat. Then we'll be back with our first appointment, which is all about picking the right shampoos for the kitties. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. So I do a lot of cats. I know you don't do a lot of cats anymore, but one of the things I've noticed that is, if I'm going to give the cat a bath, that when I come back the next time to do the cat again, my choice of shampoo is very obvious, especially if I've picked a shampoo that really isn't a great matchup with the kind of coat the cat has. The other issue with shampoos is that cats have a lot more sensitivities than dogs do to some of these shampoo ingredients. So how can we wade through the massive feline shampoo warehouse to find the right choices for us?
Okay, so can I question something that you said?
Roll on.
Well, Susie, what do you mean when you say that cats have a lot more sensitivities? I mean, I know they're sensitive. I know we have that whole issue about essential oils.
Yes, essential oils, but there's also possibly surfactants that might be a little harsh for their coats, or things like that that I've found, you know, maybe strip out too much oils or things like that. There's always respiratory type issues with cats, anything that's inhaled. So fragrances, you know, and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Correct me. Teach me.
Well, no, I can't teach you because you've probably bathed more cats than I have. I'll tell you the truth, a large percentage of my cat grooming experiences have been clipped down, no bath. 15 minutes, you're out of here. That'll be $65, please.
Right. Since I did spend a lot of time at that hospital, I did get quite a lot of cats. I did a lot of cats. And especially when I was in there, I would get to get the cat dry. You know, I don't always get the cat dry anymore, but I used to be able to get the cat dry and see the effect and notice the sensitivities and things like that, especially with wheezing, cats that wheeze.
So my experience is that cats have, what I know about feline hair is that feline hair is much finer, more slim to nearly not there hair shafts. So there's not a whole lot of cuticle layers. And likewise, they make up for it in volume, many more hairs, so that they have fur rather than hair, right?
Right.
And cats do have thinner skin. Almost any animal that has fur has a little tendency to have a little thinner skin because the hair and the skin work together as a protective system. But I also noticed that some breeds of cats are genetically greasy.
For sure.
The American Shorthair cat, for example, they have a real oily coat. And you know what I used to use on them?
What?
Oh, I don't know if I should confess, but
I have a suspicion that
you know what worked for that breed is Dawn.
And they used it a lot. I know the cats.
And they used it a lot. And you know what? A cat owner came in with two domestic short hairs that I did for several months before she left town. And she said, "What are you going to use?" And I said, "Well, to be honest, what I found is effective with this kind of a thick and greasy coat is Dawn dish soap." And she said, "I'm so glad to hear that." I was so shocked, me, you know, because here I am disclosing that I'm using a supermarket product on their pet. And she said, "That's the only thing I found that to work well on my cats." You have my total acceptance of that idea. And they used to come out lovely. And so when I had a really greasy cat, I would use Dawn. And then I often followed, instead of using the conditioner on my cats, I use Results Rinse.
I love that stuff for cats.
Oh, it just makes the coat so light and fluffy and combable.
Yeah, it's a great product choice. It adds no drying time, especially important.
It actually speeds up drying time. and it just detangles them. You know, it just helps separate out the hair, and you can just do it all with the dryer and some light brushing. I've used Results Rinse on several different types of cats. Now, cat grooming has become a real field unto itself. When I was bathing more cats, there were no products specifically for that. And pet shampoo used to be assumed to be good for cats.
And puppies and kittens.
And puppies and kittens, yeah.
Not the case anymore, at least in labeling and marketing. What about in reality, Barbara?
Well, I just don't feel like I can really argue the point. Why am I stalling?
Yeah, just say what you think. If you think there's no difference, say that. You know, I just don't know. I remember always being cautious about using shampoos that did not list safe for cats and puppies and kittens.
Safe for cats and puppies and kittens, safe for, that's just a marketing claim. There's been no testing. People are just making assumptions. And because people wanted something that was cat specific, companies like Show Season, you know, if you wanted a freaking bunny rabbit shampoo, Sandy Giorgi would create bunny time, you know?
Sure. I get that. I mean, I understand
that. You know,
that.
Especially Sandy is. And so, you know, like, if there's a demand, somebody's going to create a supply.
Right.
But mostly what I avoided on cats were waxy conditioners, heavy conditioners. And I preferred to use kind of moderate products. But I found if you use a super gentle baby shampoo, not all cat fur would get real clean.
I agree. I don't like a super gentle shampoo. I just don't find that it cleans all that well.
See, I don't think a harsh shampoo is toxic.
Well, that's what I wonder.
It's an aggressive cleaner. Harsh is not toxic. It just describes how aggressive the surfactants are. Well, are products more dangerous to cats because they have thin skin? I don't think so, because skin is still a barrier. The cat skin is not a sieve.
I suspect it's more of the delaminine or essential oils category of stuff that keeps shampoos away from cats or makes them, you know, specifically just for dogs.
There are cat-unfriendly products.
Let's talk about those.
Okay, so anything with essential oils, I would not use it on cats. Anything with delimonene, which is a component of citrus oil. Anything that is so-called citrus-based, I would not use on cats.
Which is a drag, because one of the things that used to always be a good go-to was the Le Pouch F&T, which is, I think, one of those orangey kind of a delimonene or citrus oil type of a shampoo. Really nice degreaser, but I stopped using it. Boy, is it hard on my hands, too. That one just rips my hands apart. But I stopped using it because of the orange component.
Me too. Well, I never used it.
Right.
I never used it because I couldn't afford it, and because I had that other means of dealing with greasy coats. For years, I've used a little bit of Dawn. So I don't think that there's anything that's going to be toxic to cats, but I would not want to use heavy perfumes.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So kind of myth busting a little bit there.
A little myth busting today. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. So I did just buy the Best Shot dry shampoo. So I'm going to try to use that on some of my no bath cats.
So is that what form is that?
It's a spray on that one. Spray on and comb through.
Is it an aerosol?
No, it's a pump.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I will report back on that. Because I
want to hear that, because what do they say about the ingredients?
I did not look because I was in a hurry.
You know, at some point we really need to encourage our good buddy and sponsor and valuable sponsor.
Yes.
To be a little more transparent. We're working on it, people. And Dave Campanella is pretty much in our camp, but he's not the person that makes the final decision about what ingredients are disclosed. The higher ups are still kind of reluctant.
Yep, dragging their feet a little bit.
Times, they are a-changing.
They sure are. Okay, well, moving on. Speaking of other companies, let's hear from South Park. And then we're going to come back with our definition du jour, which is carbon dioxide and carbonic acid in skin treatments. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars. The definition du jour. All right, Barbara, tell us about carbon dioxide and carbonic acid. Are those two related?
Not exactly.
Okay, they just have some carbon.
You know, I'm on the track of the Nagayo Pet Spa.
Okay, good.
So I want to find out more about this Nagayo Pet Spa. And what I did find was on their homepage, it says in very faded text, the correct term for CO2, carbon dioxide spa, is H2CO3, carbonic acid. We referred as CO2 spa for commercial reasons.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Wow.
What the F? It isn't really, you know, like what we really have here, you know, and I just wonder if they lie about that, what else?
Or is that a second language thing? But still, someone should go in there and proofread this stuff.
Well, they chose for commercial, you know why? Because who's going to buy a shampoo called carbonic acid spa?
Yeah, you've got a point there.
You know,
still, then make up a fancy name. Don't just misrepresent.
So, So they put CO2 spa. Now, what I found when I searched for CO2 skin treatment, I found that laser skin treatments, sub-Q, right?
Right.
Or, you know, like right under the skin.
Yep, that's sub-Q.
They utilize CO2. It's not epidermal. It's not, that's not from the outside. That's partway in.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's different than totally externally applied. It's true that this soaking bath spa at Nagayu, Japan, exists, but they're trying to replicate it. And of course, what they did first is they created some human products. They mostly recommend soaking in their human products, and they've got machinery that turns the bath into a whole spa thing. And then they've got their tablets.
Right, the little tablets.
The tablets are the alternative, the other way of getting your CO2 spa. So what's in those tablets?
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is.
Yeah, well, is there baking soda?
I don't know.
That makes a fizzy bath.
It sure does.
So apparently there's carbonic acid. What I have to admit is that this definition du jour is a work in progress. I have not been able to get anything to come up. I mean, I've searched Google Scholar. Now, a few weeks ago when that Nagayu system first hit my Facebook feed, I did a little research and I came across the original creator of the system did his own study. I can't find that study again. I want to find that, but what about it was that it was a single study, not peer reviewed, not replicated. You know, a study isn't science until it's replicable, that some other scientists can follow that protocol and get the same results.
Yes.
That's a peer-reviewed, replicable science study. So just something that you do in your backyard or your back lab.
It should not be given the same weight.
It's not the same level of science, and it sort of looks like junk science. That's, say that in whispered tones. Junk science.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, the Japanese as a people, as a culture, they go for this kind of stuff.
Well, and we know from your teaching that an acid mantle skin is better. That having acid on your skin is not a bad thing, right?
Having an acidic skin.
Thank you. An acidic conditioning into your skin.
Acidic, yeah. You know, and anything less than 7 pH is acidic. So it can be 6.5 and it's mildly acidic. It can be 4.0 and it's moderately acidic. Or it can be vinegar rinse, which is like 2.3. Very acidic.
Did they say what their pH is for this little fizzy tablet?
No, I also remember that somebody said they were testing it now and it came out 6.5 to 7. I would like to test that. But you know what? The tablets cost $10 each.
Wow, that's pricey.
It's even worse than that. You get 10 tablets for $25.
Did Sun Young buy them? Because if she did, maybe she'll sell. Didn't she? Wasn't she talking about doing that?
I mean, Sun Young, she likes all of that woo-woo stuff.
She's the best.
She's the best, yeah.
Oh, well, this is interesting. So stay tuned.
Yeah, so stay tuned because I'm not giving up the search to find some science behind this. I mean, I'm reading all the testimonials. And the thing about testimonials is that you could have 1 out of 100 people rave about it, and then 1 out of the next 100 people rave about it, and the 99 others think, meh. Well, you don't post them, meh, you know?
Right. Selective.
Yeah, it's selective posting. So the jury is out and the bird is on the case.
I love it. All right.
Let's see what's happening at the grooming table.
Got a grooming question? Let's ask Barbara.
On to our Ask the Table segment, which is a couple of Ask Barbara questions, actually.
Did you just say ask the table?
At the table, ask Barbara. I might have.
I think I heard it, but...
So let's start with the hair traps. So drain maintenance. We're going to talk about drain maintenance. I was reading on the website, on a plumbing website, because, you know... I always just hop on the internet and read about plumbing in my spare time. But we have a Facebook question that relates to this. So let me dig that up here if I can find it. See, I should have been prepared for that. Come on, stupid thing.
Well, I could do some anecdotal.
Do that. Tell us about your drains.
Well, you know, I've been in the same shop for 40 years, so... I've experienced just about every kind of problem other than the place catching on fire. Oh, don't even say that. But I have experienced some plumbing problems, backup problems. And I have experienced problems that were bad enough that I had to truck dogs from my shop to my home and bathe them on my knees at my own bathtub.
Out.
So that twice I had to do that. That was like pretty awful. I don't recommend doing that. I recommend rescheduling.
But, definitely.
We've had some bad, you know, like I think having a way to manage hair going down the drain is very important to a grooming salon system or even a mobile system, because when hair gets trapped, first of all, it creates an awful gunky, smelly bacterial stew. Yucky mess. And secondly, it can create a costly plumbing problems.
It sure can, Sam. It's a lot of it is presentable.
Preventable. So, you know, the first level of defense is at your drain at the tub.
Do you want to know what the first level of defense for the plumbing website is?
What?
Wash your dogs outside. That's listed on their bullet points. Okay, guys, not an option.
We did that. We had a Newfoundland. We loved this Newfoundland named Twerp.
Oh, and I remember Twerp.
Yeah, Twerpy. And Twerp developed hip problems towards the end. He could not, there was no way we could get him into the tub because he was heavier than a 2-person lift.
Yeah.
And my tub is really a little bit too high. It's kind of waist high, hard to lift, you know, 200 pounds up and over your waist and over the lip of the tub. So we, the last several baths, and he was a monthly customer. We just loved him and he would hang out and we would just de-shed. And when he reached the point where we couldn't get him on the table and then roll him to the tub and get him into the tub, even that was too much, we started doing him outside with a hose. And I used a garden sprayer. measured thing hose where I'd put the shampoo in the jar and
The little bucket underneath, and it mixes it for you.
And it mixes it for me, and then we'd shampoo him out there and rinse and make a huge, great big puddle. But we could get him clean that way. So that was one dog that we've done outdoors. That's funny. Well, I think that the first level of prevention is to have a good
hair drain. Catcher.
Yeah, right at the tub, right at your drain. Yep. You know, just one of those.
And I like to use a mesh one, a mesh wire mesh catcher in your drain that you can use a plug over the top of. Because that's the thing with the HydroSurge or the Bathing Beauty or a recirculator, you've got to be able to plug off that whole area.
Yeah, you got to be able to plug the tub. Yeah.
Yes. Basket strainer is what.
Yeah, that's what it's called. Yeah.
Yeah, most of the people use. At home, I have a much finer wire basket strainer.
It can't be too fine, because if it's too fine, it's going to just like plug up every single bath practically. You know, it takes no hair at all to clog it, to have no drainage.
Yes, that is the challenge. That's why those basket trainers, the basket strainers work so well. Some of them have a notch in them where they'll fall into place, or you can set them kind of askew and then they'll let it drain through, or it'll stop and plug up. And that's always tricky, because it seems like it never fails that those plugs will fail, the way those plugs work. But you've got to have something in there. There's another method, and that is an in-the-drain hair trap. Have you seen those?
I've never used one, but I've read up on them a little bit. You know, I think that's a good idea, especially if you're doing a lot of shedding dogs and de-shedding in the tub. I created a little something like that in my bathroom, because my pipe from the tub goes into the bathroom, the wall right into the bathroom, and then works around the sink and goes into the plumbing system there. Well, ultimately, what I had to do, we made this great big kind of basket thing that hung down, and it could catch hair, and then it had a strainer before it goes back into the pipe. And that overflowed a few times. That was lovely.
Ew.
And I discovered that the hair that's most likely to clog and cause problems is heavily conditioned hair.
Yes.
Especially in the days before we had a recirculator. And I was pouring buckets of conditioner over these big dogs. Conditioner can be a little gummy. It can just collect hair real well. So that was a thought. But I ultimately created a direct-to-the-floor drainage system in my bathroom. And I'm sure that the fire department is going to bust me. So, you know, like, so what I do when the fire department comes to inspect.
Yes.
We put dirty towels over that hole where the thing drains into the floor.
So is it a straight shot with no S loop in it?
Well, it avoids all of the, it avoids a major right angle elbow at the sink.
Yeah, because that's a spot where it will collect
Elbows always clog up. And, that was the last big problem that I had, was we were able to fix the problems with the in the pipe big basket. And then it would go on down and it would get caught in the right angle elbow into the sink. And so we just bypassed that and went straight into the floor. Yeah, I'll show you when you come down.
Oh, that'll be fun.
We'll discuss plumbing. We just, we, you know, like, I've just gotten real good at, you know, like, it's like when the home inspector came, because I have a floor in my house that looks like it's been through an earthquake, because it's cracked and warped, and so my foundation is cracked and warped, and so it's at the bottom of my bed. I throw dog beds there so that the home inspector wouldn't walk on that problem area.
That works.
It's the same thing. I throw towels over the jerry-rigged plumbing system in my bathroom. But I haven't had a single plumbing crisis since I went directly into the floor. Avoid right angles.
Yeah. Well, here's the question. Kaylin posts, I missed the boat for this week, but I was curious if you guys ever discussed hair traps. I'm a latecomer and working my way through the pods. Hair traps seem to be an often neglected yet necessary piece of equipment. After hearing about how you run vinegar through your recirculating bathers every night, I started pouring a little vinegar down the drain to sit in the hair trap. I have an S trap. It's old and rusty and gross. So she's at a perfect spot where you could actually put in one of those little hair traps that you can maintain. And what it does is it traps the hair in a spot that you can just open a little hatch or pull out a drawer or clean a sieve area down below your sink underneath that first wire defense system, right, and get the hair out. So that's cool. Now, on the plumbing website, they suggest getting a bottle brush. They suggest a bottle brush to clean out the top end of your drain. They also suggest pouring a bio-friendly drain cleaner in there like every month. What about vinegar? What do you think of that?
Well, the vinegar is going to be okay for making it not so nasty.
Smelly, right?
Yeah, not so smelly. But you really need like an enzyme cleaner to break it up and get it to flow through. So I would add that. I've actually had to use the really acidic, the straight acid from Ace Hardware. You don't even find this in at the supermarket, but this,
I believe it's called muric acid. We used it on the boat. Yeah.
I've had to do that a few times, but if you use an enzymatic every month, it will take care of that for you. It will help. But but that's an undesirable, you know, to have something that's gunky and messy and smelly. Smelly always means there's bacteria. You know?
Yeah, I think that if I was dealing with my own shop and I had a nasty, yucky, rusty S-type little hair plumbing situation down there, I would definitely bite the bullet, hire a plumber to come in and put a hair trap in there, or find a handyman or somebody, a honeydew guy or whatever, to come over and put a hair trap in there so that you don't have the nastiness of that old yucky thing. All right, next question. Miranda asks, this was a kind of a follow-up to our recirculating system cleaning tips with the vinegar also. Miranda asks, if a recirculating system wasn't a choice, which bathing system would you choose? And I've chewed on this and I thought about it, and I think I would choose no bathing system.
Yeah, that's interesting, because we didn't talk about this and I came up with the same thing. It depends on your business. If you have a high volume business and you're using the same shampoo on almost everything, a bathing tank system might be appropriate. I just don't really like the HydroSurge and the one that goes little tubes into the bottles. Almost always there's problems with that, the little plastic pieces and parts, and then you're stuck with, I don't ever want to be stuck. I could not do one shampoo on all the dogs that I do.
Me either. And no way.
Because I only do 6 or 7 dogs per day, 3 days a week, it would take me a month to use a tank, and it would spoil. I would be using contaminated shampoo by the end of the tank. It's just not cost effective to do a tank system unless you have a high volume of animals.
Yes.
And are willing to have a one main shampoo. I think I would go back to hand bathing given the number of dogs that I do.
I would either go hand bathing or go to that hose system with the reservoir that mixes the shampoo like you used on
Torch. a garden hose system.
Because at least that is more individualized. You do it, you know, you can mix up the one bucket and do your dog and then toss it.
Yeah, and then you can have, or you can have a jar for the shampoo and a jar for the conditioner.
Yes.
You know, again, one of the things I love about the recirculating system is application of conditioner, because I don't have to use large volumes of conditioner to get a great, great result on a dog. And so that conditioner, which does tend to build up in the pipes and everything. It does. It builds up. Monkey buildup. I've seen it. It's cationic. It collects.
Speaking of collecting, the other beauty thing about the bathing beauty or recirculating bathing system is it sucks up all the hair underneath the pump. You pick the pump up and you grab all the hair and toss it. I mean, the amount of hair it eliminates from the drain is substantial.
Right.
I really appreciate that. And I appreciate being able to mix and match my shampoos as needed to the coat without having to work too hard at it. And I certainly would agree with the volume. If you have a volume and you've got a bather or several bathers and you're working in a big place, then a shampoo delivery system might be a good idea. But for the way I work, it just isn't economical and it's not fun and I don't want it. So there you go. Okay. I think that's going to wrap it up. I have no idea how long we've gone, but I suspect we're well over an hour. Remember, you guys, donate to the Groomers Emergency Assistance Fund. You can find those links on our website. Go to Barbara's website, shop.beaver.biz, to join up with our webinar that's on October 1st about dealing with customer complaints.
And vote.
And remember to vote for Barclay Honor Awards.
If you get this podcast before Hershey, I don't care if you have to call them. Get a ballot.
Yes. Yes.
I've got to vote.
Yes. Barbara's having a hard time getting a ballot. And she's tried to contact Barclay and they're not exactly responsive at this moment. So she is very frustrated. And I am too, because that's two votes for two categories that we're not getting. Doggone it. Boo.
Right.
Ooh. Yes. All right, guys, in all of the natural disaster areas, please take care of yourselves and your loved ones and all of your fur babies and feathered babies and scaled babies and all of that kind of stuff. Happy grooming to everyone. We care about you guys. Thanks for being with us and see you next week. Bye-bye now.
Bye, groomers. Bye, Susie.
Bye, Barbara.
Love you all.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, @thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.